All right. Let's continue. So we started really an incredible piece last week from the Sefer Bilavavi Mishkan Evna. So just to reorient ourselves a bit, as we because we did only the first two paragraphs, but I have to say an incredible Maisa Shaya Kachaya. So we saw the Mechaber began with a statement of the Rabbeinu Yonah, right? So the Rabbeinu Yonah goes ahead and distinguishes between the two types of sinners. There's what he called Chet al Derech Mikra, remember we struggled with the right word last week, an occasional sinner. So actually I have to give her credit. Rebecca Friedman, I saw her on Erev Shabbos. She told me that she was listening to the shiur, and she said the word is episodic. Said, oh, episodic. You know, bina yisera b'nashim. Mamish, like an episodic sinner, which means, again, someone who sins, but again, it's confined to particular episodes. Versus what Rabbeinu Yonah said, ish hamisyat seiv al derech lo tova tamid. So we spoke about that. The way we translated that was more of like a habitual sinner. So that's the Rabbeinu Yonah makes the episodic sinner, the habitual sinner. Someone who's, and again, the example he gave was, I struggle in a mitzvah. Shabbos is a struggle for me. Kashrus says whatever it is, it's a mitzvah. And then there are other people. Ultimately, again, his lashon misyatziv al derech lo tova tamid. It's not just a sin; it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. So if you remember again, the Rabbeinu Yonah said, if I am an episodic sinner, so then my process of tshuva begins with charata. There's remorse, and I have to address. So if I struggle with Shabbos, I need to figure out what I need to do for Shabbos. If a person is the habitual sinner, Rabbeinu Yonah wrote, La'azov Darko. And a person has to realize that there is a systemic issue. This is not just about an avera. This is not, just about a particular episode. But there might be something in my derech. There's something in my way of life. There's something in my lifestyle. There's something in my personality. There's something in my outlook that needs to be readjusted. So we'll pick up with that tonight. So let's take a look at paragraph Gimel, page Mem Aleph. Aleph Mez is what we did last week. Take a look at Gimel. So it says, Nekuta Zu, this particular Nekuda, this particular point, he Nekuda Chashuva Shrabim Toimba. This is something very important that many people make. And I will say, you're going to see, as I mentioned to you, I don't know if anyone's ever learned from this set of Sarm, Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. It's an incredible life-changing sefer. And you'll see, like most good Svarim, following after the model of the Ramchal, no chidushin. There's no intellectual exercises. There's no even like profoundly like overwhelming deep philosophical thoughts that you never thought about on your own. It takes things that everyone knows, but that we forget. And we forget consistently, and as a result, lose our way in life. So he says, listen to this. Nivar, Adam machlit lasos tshuva. I will say this is incredible. Person decides to do tshuva. And as would have it, ube miyuchad, bimei elol vazeres mi tshuva. You know, sometimes we forget, there's actually a mitzvah of tshuva all year around. I know, it sounds like crazy, right? But there is actually a concept like that all year around. I know, it sounds sacrilegious, right? That'd be curses. So, but obviously, okay, people are people. We all fall into the same boat. And of course, it comes up most acutely during El Anas Eres Yemei Tshuva. So what happens? I want to do tshuva. Whom is spawning ba'orach chayiv, u'bodekes myself. So I look at my lifestyle. I go and look at my actions. U'bederech klal hu motzeh shu lakoi b'shmiras haloshen Bebetel Torah, Bitfila below Kavana, Bichoster Kavanas Brachas, Vichule. So whatever, I do my Cheshbon Nefesh, I do my spiritual inventory, and I see I'm deficient in, and fill in the blank. Whatever it is, Lashon Hara, davening without Kavana, right? You look at this list, you say, wow, halavai, these are my problems. Right? But again, whatever is your particular issue, I do the inventory, and I figure out my issue. Ma'us Adamza, okay, so now that I've discovered the problems, well, I'll say, what do I do? So tell me, what do I do? What do we do? After you discover your challenge, you fix it. So what do? Good to see you. So what do? Ma'asa Adam mekabel al atzmo kabbalas bechol echad min atchumin shebahem uchash lakui. So what do? Kabbalas. I take upon myself things. What do I take upon myself? I take upon myself things that relate to my particular areas of weakness and challenge and difficulty. Okay. So on a simple idea, just using his example, I speak too much lashon hara. Good. I'm going to go ahead and take upon myself. I'm going to learn Chafetz Chaim. I'm going to take a vow of silence. Whatever I'm going to do, but I'm going to do Kabbalah to address this particular issue. And you fill in the blank. Whatever my struggle is, I accept upon myself things to strengthen myself in that area. But says the Mechaber something amazing. We're amongst friends. So we can speak openly. What almost always happens with those Kabbalahs?
Falls off.
falls off. Right? It falls off. He said it. Thank you. Thank you. He took one for the team. Right? So it falls off. And you know how this works. And then arose. Shapirov hakabalos lomachzikos ma'aman zmanav. I have to tell you, isn't it life-affirming just to read these words? Isn't it life-affirming? Because when I take on those kabbalas and then I fail, I often just feel like an incredible failure. Like, why couldn't I sustain this? Like, why couldn't I keep this going? The Mechaber says, oh, by the way, you're not alone. This is human nature. This is the way it works. You take stuff on, you know how it works. You take it on, and what happens? If you make it through Sukkis, right? If you make it through Sukkis, you know, it's mamish like good. Chanukah, mamish like Yam Suf, right? Tu Bishvat, like the mun coming in, right? Coming down from the heavens. Pesach, mamish like articles writing your biography. You know, like I'm just saying, it's just the way that it works. And that's why, very often, one of the most difficult parts of Chodesh Elul is that I find myself, I'm talking about the same stuff, right? Meaning, the truth is, when it comes to the things I need to work on, it's not panim chadoshos bolakan, right? This generally, for most of us, there's nothing new year to year. In fact, the most sobering thing is, it's actually the same stuff. I am dealing with the same stuff. I'm telling, Chodesh Elul, I'm dealing with the same things now that I dealt with last year. And the truth is, most of them from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It's the same exact stuff. I did Kabbalas. I did Sincere Tshuva. My Kabbalas came and went. He goes on, he says, Va'af. And this is incredible. And even if a person manages to hold on to the Kabbalas, mikol makom ben aliyah amiti lo tzomeach mizeh. I will say, isn't this incredible? Even if you manage to hold on to your Kabbalas, right? To hold on to the things you promised yourself you're going to do, it doesn't seem to yield the results that I thought it would, right? Meaning, I don't feel like a ben aliyah. I don't feel holier or more spiritual. Maybe I've curbed the behavior a little bit, but I don't feel like I've grown so dramatically as a result of these Kabbalas. He goes on, he says, Heichon shoresh habaya. So what's the problem? Meaning it's a two-pronged question. Number one, why can't I keep up with the Kabbalas that I made? That's question number one. And question number two is, even if I do keep them up, why haven't I become a Ben Aliyah? I'm working on this stuff. Why haven't I become a Ben Aliyah? Who, listen to this. Who asher dibarnu? Adam ze osa sa tshuva harishon shel Rabbeinu Yonah. Bebechinas mi asher chata al derech mikre. Ulam be'emes hu nitzrach l'tshuva min asuga shini bebechinas misyat sev al derech l'tov. Rabbo said, do you know why? And this is incredibly profound. Because sometimes the mistake I make is I become hyper-focused on a behavior instead of a lifestyle and a mindset. You see, sometimes when I'm struggling with a particular avera, that avera struggle is symptomatic of a much more profound life issue. There might be a problem in my lifestyle. There might be a problem in the way that I'm living. There might be a problem in my outlook. So the problem is, if I only attack the behavior, then I might be able to be successful at that for a little bit of time, but it's going to be a limited amount of success. Because the problem actually is not the behavior. The problem ultimately is, what is it that is creating the behavior? What is that is causing all this? What is the underlying issue? What's the catalyst for everything that is negative? So, right, what is the underlying issue? And I both said, this is so incredibly profound. Like Lamashal, right? A person has chas v'shalom, you know, systemic headaches, right? So, okay, you could take Advil, At some point in time, your physician's going to tell you that's what? You probably need an MRI, right? Chas v'shalom, meaning you could keep taking Advil, and it might even work a little bit here and there. But at the end of the day, there might be something underlying. You need to address that. Says the Mechaber, do you know why often we don't make traction in our tshuva? Because at the end of the day, we think that we're category one, which is what? I love this word. Episodic sinners, right? We think we're episodic sinners. I'm making this as I started out. There was a wonderful lady from the shul, Rebecca Friedman, who was listening to the shir, and she heard me fumfering for the word. She told me episodic. It's a good one, right? It's very good, very good. Right? Shkoya. She's Baruch Hashem, so I'm giving her now two times credit. Right? So the problem is, we often think that we're episodic sinners, but I'm actually not an episodic sinner. Right? I'm actual habitual offender. And when I'm a habitual offender, it's not because I'm a good person. It's not because I'm a bad person. Chas v'shalom. Remember again, we don't learn about bad people. That's not what we learn about. We don't believe in bad people. We believe in good people who do bad things, right? So remember again, I'm not. The problem is, I think that often I'm an episodic sinner, but in fact I'm a habitual offender. And when I'm a habitual offender, that's symptomatic that there's something much deeper that's broken inside of me. And so the problem is, if I just put a band-aid on the behavior, okay, it's going to make me feel good, and it might even last a little while, but there's no long-term traction because I am not addressing the underlying issue. Paragraph Dalet. Na'achivis ha'dvarim. Let's analyze this a little bit more. Shnei ha'ofanim halalu. Shemana Rabbeinu Yonah. Shonim heim mizeh b'yisodan. So the two categories of sin that the Rabbeinu Yonah outlined, namely, the episodic sinner and the habitual offender. So I don't want to say habitual sinner because that doesn't sound right. A habitual offender. So they're fundamentally different. How so? Hacholti al derech mikra shoresh chatohu al derech zu ulekach maspik aburo kabalos laziva sachet shenich shabo. So we'll say if I'm an episodic sinner, I only have one particular weakness. Okay, so I don't have to tear down the edifice, right? There's one problem. There's one weakness. There's one issue. Okay, let me address it. And again, I could, with laser-like precision, I could work on the midah. I could work on the midah. But so you know where you see this more often? Like with children, right? Children, Baruch Hashem, are never habitual offenders. They might be episodic offenders. So a good parent sees a negative midah in a child and says, okay, let's work on this midah. The child is great. The child is beautiful. There's an area of weakness. Okay, let's zero in on the weakness. That's one. Ulam, ha-misatzev ha-derech lo-tov. But I will say, sometimes in life, I'm just on the wrong path. I'm on the derech lo-tov. In shoresh achid to maise achid sha'asa. Suppose I say the essence of my problems is not the behavior. Meaning, yes, I spoke lashon hara, I was mechal Shabbos, I ate tarfos. None of that is good. None of that is good. But that's actually not my problem. That's not my problem. Rather, my problem is my derech. My derech. I'm not on the right derech in life. I'm not on the right derech. Suppose I say, do you know how many people spend their lives barking up the wrong trees and looking at all the ones because they're so focused on the behaviors that they don't see the derech. The derech is broken. The derech is wrong. The derech. How many times with our own children, right? Do we just, we're not mechanich them the right way because we're addressing behaviors instead of trying to figure out maybe the derech is wrong, right? Maybe, as older children, I mean. Maybe the derech is just fundamentally flawed. So it's incredible. He says, v'la'achr shem la'derech ha'nechona. Now here's the incredible part. So if I'm on the wrong derech, Can you address behaviors? Sure. But what is it like? It's like having a huge flesh wound and putting a band-aid on it. Will the band-aid help? Yeah, it might. Meaning the band-aid might help a little bit. Definitely will help somewhat, right? It'll soak up some of the blood. But Lamaisi, you've got to open wounds. You've got to open wounds. So to put a band-aid on an open wound, so to address a behavior when my derech is wrong, my derech is broken, I'm on the wrong path, you don't get traction like that. He says, but here's the incredible part. If you fix your derech, then what? Then what? Then it becomes much easier to address the behaviors. Meaning, let's be clear. The negative behaviors, of course, have to be addressed at some point in time. The shaila is, or the mistake often that's made is, the behaviors get addressed first, and the derech gets ignored. What the Mechaber is just suggesting is, if I'm in the derech lo tova, the derech has to get addressed first, and then it'll be much easier and much more meaningful to address the behaviors afterwards. Ukishen esbonei nira, sha'osam likuyim shanu motzim batzmenu, ein shorashan etzem maisa avera, ela mipnei she'ein anu margishim inyano u'bigimaso shalachit. Sibo said, this is an incredible statement. When we introspect and we realize that, let's say again, I identify the areas that I'm weak in. So I have to realize that more often than not, it's not the pshat that my problem is that avera. The problem often is that the truth is that avera doesn't mean anything to me, right? Or I do it because at the end of the day, it just doesn't bother me, or I don't feel it's all that bad, or it's not all that important. People say when a Jew doesn't feel that an avera is all that big of a deal, what does that tell me? What does that tell me? It tells you that my derech is messed up. There's something wrong with my derech. It's not, I committed an avera, but to commit an avera and to realize that it's fundamentally wrong and to have the charat and everything else, okay, that happens. We're human beings. So there I might just have to address the particular issue. But when I do the averas, and it's fine, like, I know what I'm doing is wrong. Intellectually, I know it. But it doesn't bother me. It's fine. I can live with the inconsistencies. Forget about the avera. The derech is wrong. The derech is flawed. And ultimately, again, v'atam lozeh, mipnei shedarchim u'misyatzim al derech lo tova. Paragraph A. Keshef nosaf yesh ben ha'akaras shorash achit, shu herchik ben shabosayim. So first of all, just, I can't stress this enough. I have to tell you, when I learned this, I'm changed my life, because I realized that, to be honest, like this is confession. You know, I've been doing tshuva wrong for a good part of my life. I've been doing it wrong. I've been behaviorally focused, right? I've tried to identify, I try to be honest with myself. Here are the things I do wrong. Let me identify them, let me name them, and let me figure out a strategy for dealing with each of them. But I've been addressing behaviors because I thought that I fell into the category of an episodic sinner. But at the end of the day, I realized that, no, there's a lot of stuff I do wrong, and I know that it's wrong, and it doesn't even bother me so much that it's wrong. I just do it because whatever, I justify it. And in fact, it's not my behaviors, but my negative behaviors are a manifestation of my broken derech. And the reason I haven't gotten traction in a lot of the areas that I want to get traction on in life is not because I'm not addressing the behaviors. It's because I'm not addressing the derech. The derech is broken. Until the derech is fixed, I can't get traction. Hey, kesher nosaf, yesh bein, hakaras shoresh hachit, shuarichuk beinenu, la'avinu shebashamayim. There's another issue here, says the Mechaber. The other issue is the impact of chait. But what does chait do? At the end of the day, what does chait do? Chait affects richok. See, I will say, see, we often think, and this is part of the flaw, like in our chinuch also. So if we were to ask someone, well, what is the negative byproduct of chait? So any good yeshiva guy, if you ask them a question, what are they going to ask you? There's a follow-up question. What's the follow-up question? Oh, what's the Avera? Right? Daraisa, Derabanan, Misa, Malkus, Kares. You want to know how bad it is? Like, name your sin. Name your sin, and let's go through this. We'll go to Drishas V'Chakiras, right? I'll tell you exactly. It's not so bad. That's Kares. That's Misa V'Dei Shamayim. Misa b'dei Shemayim is actually a little bit more kal than kares, right? And Misa b'dei Adam could even be, okay. So the Bechava says, no, that's not what I mean. When we speak about the severity of sin on both sides, the severity of sin is manifest in one particular way, which is, I am distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That therein lies the greatest detrimental byproduct of sin. The onesh of sin is bad, but that's actually not the negative byproduct. Because remember, we're both saying, onesh in Yiddishkeit is what? Very important. Onesh is what? It's punishment, but I'm saying, but what is it? What does punishment affect? Kapara. So remember again, we don't have punitive punishment. We have kinds of knas, which is a bit punitive, but in general, the major punishments are cathartic, they're rehabilitated. So if I'm going to be punished for a chait, it's a punishment, but the Maaseh there's a kapara. I'm atoned. The greatest negative byproduct of chait is the richok. When I sin, I am distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I see, you'll say, so what? So what? So what am I? I'm not going to get parnasa. I'm not going to get what? No, you might still get everything. But remember, the worst thing in life is to be distanced from someone who you love. Because ultimately, again, remember what David HaMelech says, what does the Jew want? At the end of the day, what do I want more than, you know, I've mentioned this before. David HaMelech says, I have one request. What's the one request? Shifti beveis Hashem. I want to dwell in the house of God. So the Malbim says, "Nu David HaFetze, that's your only request? I have a lot more requests than that. What about Shalom Bayis? Right? What about healthy children? What about parnasa? What about all the things, the litany of things that we daven for? That's all? You have one request, shifti beveis Hashem? So the Malbim says something amazing. David HaMelech understood. That's what? If you have shifti beveis Hashem, everything else falls into place. If you have a closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything else falls into place. Now, that doesn't mean you have every single thing you want. Right? It doesn't mean you have all the parnasa you want, all the shalom bayis you want. No. What it means is when you have a healthy, close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have the strength to deal with everything. You have proper outlook and proper insight to be able with all the difficult deal with all the difficulties and vicissitudes in life. So the greatest negative fallout and byproduct of sin is the richuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm distanced from you. He says, Lebein akoshi lamo bekabalos shalom kamal atzminu. So now the interesting part is like this. So now you begin to create a construct. If the greatest byproduct, negative byproduct of sin is richuk, is distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means what is tshuva supposed to accomplish? What does tshuva accomplish? Kiruv. Right? If sin creates richuk, then the goal of tshuva is to create a kirvas elokim, to create a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Chazal Amru, as I said, turn the page, every single day, I will say, Yitzhahara grows stronger. This, by the way, is a shir by itself. This is why spirituality is counterintuitive to everything else in life. Everything else in life, the more you do it, the easier it becomes, the more proficient you become, right? You want to be good at basketball, play basketball every day. And if you practice your foul shot every single day, chances are that's what? You'll be better. Ride a bike, keep riding. Everything else in life, everything else in life, marriage, parenting, everything else, your career, the more you do it, right, the more you engage, the better you become. General assumption. What is the one thing that defies that equation? Ruchnius. 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 The more you do it, right? Yitzo shel adam miskabra alav b'chol yom b'yom, the Gemara says. Yitzo becomes stronger every single... Counterintuitive. Totally counterintuitive. I would think that the more I learn, the more I do, the more I could... The weaker the Yitzo becomes, not the way it works. Stronger, right? More you do, Yitzo becomes stronger. B'yom HaKadosh Baruch Hu Azro. And the Gemara says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't at my side helping me out... Eino yacholo. I would not be able to overcome the Yitzhara. So we'll say, so now this is incredible. Now you see where it's going. I'm going to have to stop here in just a moment. But you understand where he's going with this. So, Masai HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro Ezra Gimura. So now, understand. So now, Yitzhara gets stronger every single day. Can I handle the Yitzhara on my own? No, I cannot. The only way to manage Yitzhara is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping me. When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu help me? Rabbi says, you see where we're going with this? When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu help me? Masi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ezra Gimura? Rak kasher ha'adam nimsa im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hu chai imo, hu mekusher imo, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro. So the Mechaber says something absolutely amazing. This will have to stop. But you understand what he's saying? In order to combat my Yitzhara, which grows stronger every single day, I can't do it myself. I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu by my side. When is HaKadosh Baruch Hu by my side, right? Or when does he help me? When there's a strong connection. What's the problem? The problem is every single time I commit an Aveira, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm distancing myself. Well, if I distance myself, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not necessarily by my side to help me. If he's not by my side to help me, that means I don't have the strength to combat the Yitzhara. If I don't have the strength to combat the Yitzhara, then what? Then I fail. And then I sink deeper and deeper and deeper into this abyss of spiritual loneliness. So therefore, again, says the Mechaber, begin to understand why tshuva, looking at my derech, looking at my life, my lifestyle, my hashkafas, in an effort to bring myself back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the greatest byproduct of sin is not the onesh, it's the richuk. And the richuk is so dangerous, because the richuk then says that when I struggle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not by my side to help me. Tshuva allows us to bridge the gap, bringing us back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allowing Him to help us in the struggle against the Yitzhara, rehabilitate myself, and ultimately go. So we'll have to stop over here. We'll pick up Emir Tashem with this Yisod, Emir Tashem next week. Shkoyach.